Are you ready, all you fans out there in out there land? I say it's time again. Have mercy, let the congregation say, hey, man. It's time for the biggest, baddest party in the world. So get on up, turn it up a notch, and get ready to boogie, baby. Ow!
From Tomahawk to Rhinelander, from Anago to Eagle River, and everywhere in between, it's time for the Sports Q on WJJQ. Now, here is your host, Alex Cook.
Welcome to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you on this wonderful Wednesday evening. Man, have we got a big show for you today. We got Bucks radio analyst Justin Garcia. We've got Hatchet Boy swim coach Teresa Lesperon stopping by. We've got Bill Schmidt from 97.3 The Game. And we also got NFL wildcard predictions all coming up. But first, and boy oh boy, do you know where we're going to begin? We're going to kick things off in Lambeau.
All right, here we go. 2 minutes standing between the Packers and a playoff berth. 17-9 Green Bay over Chicago. Love under center. And here's the handoff to Showtime. Left side. Breaks a tackle. Cutting left outside the numbers. To another first down. To the 31-yard line of Chicago. And there is your dagger. Everybody in Lambeau Field on their feet in what many called a rebuilding year in Green Bay after all this. It was all about the future, right? Well, for this Packers team, on this day in Green Bay, the future is now, and so are the playoffs.
That is right, folks. The Packers are back in the playoffs. All right. Now that we got the celebrating out of the way, and before I recap the game on Sunday, because I was there for that, and the atmosphere there was absolutely electric. It was very, very electric. And before we preview, we'll preview the game, by the way, with Bill Schmidt coming up, 97.3 The Game in the second half, in the second part of the show. From here on out, the Packers were sitting at 2-5 after losing to the Minnesota Vikings. And I remember saying, this is starting to look like the worst case scenario, which would have been 4-13, a plethora of injuries. And to be honest with you, probably a top 10 pick. Then you started to see them creep up towards expectations. You saw them get to 6-7 wins, and I thought, okay, maybe they meet expectations. Exceeding expectations was getting to the postseason. That is exactly what they did. What a phenomenal season from this Packers team, going up and down, left and right. This young team grew up right before our very eyes during this regular season. So let me just give everyone this. Regardless of what happens in the playoffs, regardless of what happens, okay, this season is already deemed a success. They're ahead of the rebuild. Again, this was supposed to be a rebuild. You heard Wayne Larrabee say it. This team was supposed to be a rebuilding year. But regardless of what happens in the postseason, whether they lose in the first round to Dallas or whether they upset them, wherever they may go, this was a successful season. You cannot take that away from them. And the other thing we like to point out, Jordan Love has at least earned another year under the belt. Now, again, the second year, you see defenses start to adjust the way that you would see Jordan Love, the way you see against, you know, young quarterbacks. So let's see what happens. But let's go ahead and recap Sunday's game now. Packers knock off the Bears 17-9. Again, I was there for that game. With this particular game, Green Bay should have won this game, in my opinion, by 3 scores. Because Anders Carlson missed a 40-yard field goal. They left 7 more points on the board in the red zone with the play right before halftime. And they also had a big play to Jaden Reed that had a touchdown taken off the board ultimately, which I think was the right call. So they left at least 9 points on the scoreboard. That would have made the score 26-9. If you added 17 to that, if you doubled their score, it would have been 34-9. So the offense played well. They just didn't finish the drives. They gained over 400 yards of offense that day. Jordan Love had a 300-yard passing game and the second highest completion percentage by a Packer in a game since 1984. The only quarterback with more completion percentage with a better completion percentage in a single game, surprisingly, was Aaron Rodgers. So if you want to go ahead and point to the fact that this team should have beaten the Bears by 20 points, yeah, you're right. But the important thing was to win and in. That's all they needed to do, and they did it. So yeah, we go to the offense. But let me tell you something. Joe Barry, I think, has gotten a lot of criticism. Some of it fair, some of it unfair. The Packers, for a while, especially in the first half of the season, were relying on their defense to win games, which it didn't work, okay? They were holding their defense. They were holding teams to 17, 19, 20 points a game. And Green Bay's offense was still trying to find its rhythm. The defense did have a couple of let-ups, especially against Tampa Bay and against Carolina. But their last 2 weeks, they performed some of the best football they have all season long, giving up just 10 to Minnesota and giving up just 9 to Chicago, not letting them sniff the end zone. Justin Fields and the Bears were held to under 200 yards of offense in that game. Fields was held to just 140 passing yards. That was a great performance by Green Bay's defense. 5 sacks from Green Bay's defense as well. And I'm just going to go ahead and ask Packer fans out there. Do you believe in love? Because it's finally time to start believing in love. Yes, I'm looking at you, Amy Mackey. Amy Mackey is our sales representative here. She comes in, and every single time I say, hey, Jordan Love performed pretty well, she just goes, meh. And I looked at her, and she's not giving Jordan Love credit. Let me give you the numbers here. 4,159 passing yards. Most passing yards by a Packers quarterback in his first year of starting. 32 passing touchdowns, 36 total, 11 interceptions, 3-1 touchdown to interception ratio. The Packers have put up 30 points in 3 games this year, and this team is going to the playoffs for a team that was expected to win probably 6 or 7 games this year. Jordan Love has performed well when the rubber needed to meet the road. He has earned at least another season under the helm, and his final 7 games, 16 touchdowns, 1 interception. He completed 84% of his passes yesterday, and he's completed over 69% of his passes since week 11. Think about that for a second. Again, no one could have predicted this for this to happen for Green Bay 10 weeks ago. They were 2-5 after losing to the Vikings. And I don't think that any Packer fan would have thought, oh, well, they're going to the playoffs at 2-5. You told me they would have gone there. I said you would have been crazy, and you probably had a couple too many old fashions to drink in the morning. This was a phenomenal performance overall by this Packers team in the second half of the season. And again, from here on out, no matter what happens, this is a success. Also a big night. Shout out to Aaron Jones, by the way. He becomes the first Packer since Amon Green in 2006 to rush for 100 yards in 3 straight games. First Packer to do that since Amon Green. He has a chance to do it 4 when they go to Dallas. Also, Aaron Jones has had over 120 scrimmage yards in 2 straight games against Minnesota and against Chicago. He had 141 yesterday. He helped make that offense go. If you could run the ball and play that kind of defense in the postseason, not talking this year, but further on down the road, that's going to go very well for you when you have a franchise quarterback in the mix. Now, with all that being said, Green Bay's not done yet. I'm going to be making my wild card predictions coming up in the second half of the show. And they go to Dallas. Just a couple of few notes for you. I'll preview it a little bit more once we do our predictions. Green Bay has won 4 straight road games against the Cowboys. You could say that they were different teams. You could say that they were, the Packers were a different team back then. That's totally fine. Aaron Jones, how about this for you? Aaron Jones has had 3 career games against the Cowboys. He's had at least 100 yards from scrimmage and a touchdown in each of those games, including 4 in 1 game back in 2019.
4 touchdowns in 1 game?
4 touchdowns in 1 game.
4 touchdowns in 1 game.
Just something to put in perspective. This is going to be a very interesting matchup, and a matchup where I think that Green Bay, they are favored. I would have liked to see them go into Detroit rather than Dallas, because Dallas, to me, is a dominant team at home. But who knows? The playoffs are filled with miracles and unlikely heroes. Maybe we get some on Sunday. Who knows? Kudos to the Green Bay Packers. They knock off the Bears 17-9. They finish the 2023 regular season with a 9-8 record. And they go on to the playoffs here. The number 7 seed take on the number 2 seed Cowboys at 3:30. That'll be one of three broadcasts that we have for you on WJJQ. We'll let you know those broadcasts once we get our predictions. Let's take our first break. When we come back, we'll sit down with Bucks studio analyst Justin Garcia to get his thoughts on the Bucks' recent struggles. That's coming up next here on the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Bringing Wisconsin sports to the Northwoods. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Let Carrier provide quiet, efficient heating all winter long with innovative solutions for premium comfort available at Hilgi's LP Gas. And for a healthier home, add the Infinity Air Purifier with an advanced filter that can capture and kill select viruses and bacteria. Learn the science and its impact on coronavirus at carrier.com/purifier. Hilgi's LP Gas, proudly serving our Northwoods area since 1958. Hilgi's for your healthy heating comfort. Call 453-3505 or visit hilgi's.com. Carrier, turn to the experts.
Billy Bob's Sports Bar in Grantland invites you to dine in or carry out all your favorite menu selections, including soup, salad, sandwiches, wraps, and Chicago-style pizza. Happy hour is Monday through Thursday from 2 until 5. On Fridays, Billy Bob serves their fantastic fish fry all day, and Saturday it's prime rib with servings starting at 5 and while supplies last. Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill, County Highway L, north of Tomahawk, ready to serve you daily at 11 o'clock. It's Billy Bob's Sports Bar and Grill.
We all have hopes, dreams, and goals for ourselves and our family. This is Rich Teggy with Wealth Strategy Group. Financial goals are no different than any other goal. It all starts with a plan. We know the importance of a solid financial plan focused on what's most important to you. We listen and take the time to understand your vision and create a strategy to pursue your specific dreams and goals. We would appreciate the opportunity to discuss your goals, understand your financial situation, and create a plan tailored to reaching your desired retirement lifestyle. Wealth Strategy Group is here to provide the assistance you need. Call us today at 453-0722 or access us on the web at wsginvest.com or stop by our office on North 4th Street in Tomahawk. Securities and advisory services offered through LPL Financial, a registered investment advisor. Member FINRA SIPC.
Get on board at Outboards Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk. Outboard serves their fantastic menu selections from 11 a.m. until 10 p.m. daily. Stop on by for happy hour from 2 until 5, Monday through Thursday. Outboard's Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk, features their Friday fish fry with cod, walleye, shrimp, and catch of the day. It's Outboard's Bar and Grill, North 4th in Tomahawk. Get on board.
And welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Good to have you along here on this Wednesday evening. And coming back onto the show to talk some Milwaukee Bucks is their studio analyst, Justin Garcia. Justin, welcome back.
How's it going, Alex?
It's going really good. How are you doing, man?
I'm doing good. I can't complain.
That is great to hear. So, Justin, let's go ahead and get right into it here. The Bucks have really struggled over the last couple of weeks, including losing four of their last five games, getting booed off the court against Utah on Monday. Why do you think is the biggest reason they've been struggling?
I think first and foremost, the season ebbs and flows, right? Like, we weren't having these conversations we thought the Bucks were doing in December when everything seemed to be working. You're going to hit these spots throughout an 82-game season, so that is part of it. But the larger issue is the defense, and that has crept up at the worst possible time for this team. Is they're in the midst of a stretch that should not be too challenging. You have some difficult matchups, and the next one they have with the Boston Celtics is certainly one of those.
Mm-hmm.
I think in the Jazz game, if we just look at that, not having Damian Lillard out there, that changed things for a lot of players. And it's not just Giannis and how it kind of clogs up everything around him. It reduces some of the spacing even for a guy like Malik Beasley. It puts more pressure and more of a need on offense from Chris Middleton and Brooke Lopez. So you saw the absence of Damian Lillard, how much that can change things when this team was frankly constructed to be Giannis and Dame. So that's a part of it offensively. But I mentioned the defense has been what everybody has circled and pointed at for the duration of this season. And we did see some pretty consistent growth for about a month or 6 weeks, where this team put Brook Lopez closer to the basket.
Right.
And, you know, for a stretch of 5 to 6 weeks, they were playing much closer to a top 10 defense than a bottom 10. But that has started to wear off. And I think, you know, the more reps that you have and the more film there is, teams have figured out different ways to attack this defense. So now it comes down to a first-year head coach and Adrian Griffin having to counter some of those adjustments. And maybe that's examining playing the rest of your perimeter defenders so far away from the basket, because that seems to have opened the door for a lot of attacks on Brook Lopez and drives to the basket, which has led to blow-bys and penetrate and kick actions. And, you know, that's kind of led to everything that we've seen. It's defensively, rebounding. If Brook Lopez is having to contest, you don't have players around the rim and around the basket to get those rebounds, and that opens the door for things like second chance points.
Yep.
And if it's coming at a time when the offense hasn't been clicking as that unit we had seen for most of the year, one of the three best offenses in the league, it's going to look even worse.
Right. Justin, let's go ahead and expand a little bit more on Adrian Griffin here. There's obviously a lot of noise with how much of a potential drop-off he could be for Mike Budenholzer. This was, you know, a bit of a hire where people raised their eyebrows and wondered, well, can he bring this team and keep them at a defensive level? How well do you think he is doing being a first-time head coach, being in this situation?
I think it's still to be determined. I mean, I've talked about this elsewhere, in that I get that there is a large contingency of fans that are starting to reach their boiling point. And, you know, you're used to the last 5 years. And that was one of the things with Mike Budenholzer. This may sound like a knock, but it's not. He grabbed the low-hanging fruit and he raised the floor of this team, also raised the ceiling. You're changing everything that you do, and that's, of course, going to take time. And I think when you look at the personnel the Bucks have had in years past, that personnel may align more with the style that Adrian Griffin wants to play, but that's not what you have now. So I think it's a couple of ways to look at it. You know, number one, defensively, this system was constructed when Griff got the job under the assumption that you had Jrue Holiday running the defense on the perimeter, and that changed a week before training camp. So we do have to take that into account. It is fair to push back and say, well, you also have to make an adjustment from there. And I think that's what these final 40 or so games are going to be critical in making those adjustments. But, you know, when we saw it early in the season too, people rushing to judgment after 10 games or 20 games, I have always been under the belief that you need a sample size. Right, it has to be a large sample size.
Yes.
A month, 10 games, 15 games, that's not enough to tell me one way or another if a first-year head coach is good. You can certainly notice trends, and you can notice things that you think, I like what he's doing here, or maybe not so much here. But it may not be the answer fans want to hear. I just think it does need time, because there isn't one magic fix to improve this team, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's not a coaching change. It's not one trade that's out there. It's a number of things, and the only way you get there is through time. So it's not to say there's an answer one way or another. I just think we're rushing to judgment when we need more time to evaluate it.
That's very fair. That is incredibly fair. Talking here with Justin Garcia, Bucks studio analyst here on the Sports Q on WJJQ. Justin, obviously, you heard Giannis Antetokounmpo came out recently and said that this team needs to start playing better. You take a look at a statement, where do you think it begins?
Well, I think, you know, it's easy to look at it and see that Giannis is giving everything that he has. I think nobody would, number one, you would never question that with Giannis. Effort is never one of the words, effort or intensity.
Right.
Never any of the things that you would point to for Giannis and say, I wonder if he had it tonight. But I think when you have that type of motor and when you go as hard as Giannis does, and when you know there's so many moving parts, I think it was very fair that he made it a broad statement that was impacting everyone. This wasn't just, hey, our coach needs to drop better plays, or I need some more help on the perimeter, or Brook Lopez or somebody needs to do a better job in the paint. I mean, Giannis included himself in there as well, and the joke of including the equipment as well. But it's a fair point, right, that as this team is still learning each other, and I think that's one thing that it has to be pointed out too, is there's so much change on this team. It's not just learning a new defense and a new way to run offense. But it's also, we got to learn new systems on both ends.
Yep.
We have to learn Damian Lillard's tendencies, mm-hmm. right? Like, we need to learn, where does he want to get the ball? What happens when he gives up the ball and he reroutes himself? I got to learn to look for him, that that's maybe not something we would do in the past with a Drew Holiday. So those are all things that are taken into account. Damian Lillard has to learn his new teammates. So that's what I mean when I say it's going to take time and this is going to be a lengthy progress or process here. And I just keep going back to 2021, when the Bucks did ultimately win a championship. That was the only other year that you could really comp to this year in terms of the change.
Because right.
50% of the roster was new in 2021. That's when you brought in Drew. That's when Bobby Portis came to town. You made some other moves in the offseason that you ultimately
yes.
undid and used those to trade for P.J. Tucker, which was another change. So there was a lot of change in 2021. John Horst said before this season started, this is the most change he has ever experienced with a basketball team, off the court and on the floor. So even more than 3 years ago. And in 2021, it took until the All-Star break, really. It was that final game where Drew Holiday hit the game winner against the Grizzlies. The Bucks go into the break on a win streak. They win their next seven out of the break. And that's when it felt like, okay, the chemistry is there and this team is starting to turn the corner.
Right.
I don't know that it's going to be the All-Star break this year. I hope it's tomorrow. It's Thursday and it starts this week. But that was the barometer, right? It took about a half a season last time there was this much change. It might be the same. It might be less. It might be more.
It might be. It might be. You never know. So, obviously, Justin, we're coming up on now the halfway point of the season. Bucks still have, you know, the second seed currently in the Eastern Conference, 3.5 behind Boston. And the trade deadline is coming up. Could you see Milwaukee making a move at the deadline?
Well, I mean, I think it's easy to see that, and it's easy for the fans to point to, here's what the Bucks need. They need X, Y, or Z. I wouldn't be shocked, because there's a couple of things to take into account here. Number one, the trade deadline is really the last or one of the last chances that the Bucks have to dramatically shape their roster outside of making a major trade in the offseason, which I don't think any of us really see at this moment.
Right.
It may be your last chance, because once the summer begins, day one of the new league season, that starts July 1st, that's when all those things that you had heard over the summer about aprons, that's when all that comes into account.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, what that means is the Bucks are in the second apron. And when you are in that second apron, which is just looking at how much luxury tax are you paying, if you're among the top, you're in that second apron, and the Bucks are, when that happens to you, there's a lot of things that change in what you're able to do. So the biggest one is, in trades, you can't package together contracts to aggregate salary. So in other words, if you were trading for a contract that's $10 million, you can't take a $7 million player and a $3 million player, combine those and trade it out to bring back the 10,
right.
You would have to do a one-for-one. So you would have to have that salary that matches. It also limits the amount of money that you can bring back in trades.
Mm-hmm.
You can usually bring back 125%. You can trade $10 million and bring back 12. You can't do that if you're in the second apron. So it is a like-for-like. You can't sign players that were bought out that signed a deal free agency that was larger than the mid-level, which most contracts that are bought out are. So
mm-hmm.
It changes a lot of things that you're going to be able to do. It even starts to freeze draft picks. So in other words, once you get to the summer, there's a very good chance the way this roster looks now, or day one of the summer, that's what it's going to look like largely for the next couple of years. So this trade deadline may be the last chance to really tweak the roster for the Bucks.
Sure.
We've spent a lot of time talking about the defense. I think everybody would point to it would be nice to get a wing defender. That's the other issue the Bucks are going to run into, is the assets that they have to make moves. They don't have any first-round picks until 2031.
So no, they don't.
That goes out the window. Your second-round picks are limited as well. And the way this team is constructed in terms of their salary, it's largely max or close to max contracts. And then guys that are like on the rookie scale deal, when you think about all the young guys they have,
mm-hmm.
not a whole lot of in-between. Pat Connaughton and Bobby Portis are. But as of right now, those are guys that are vital to your team.
Yes, they are.
There are going to be some challenges. But look, I'm never going to say never with John Horst. I mean, I think we had the conversation years ago where I didn't think the Bucks had the assets to get Drew Holiday. They got him. I didn't think they had the assets to get Jay Crowder or P.J. Tucker. They got him. None of us thought they had the assets to get Damian Lillard, and they did.
So yeah.
We've seen John Horst pull some of those things off in the past, and certainly it would take the same at the trade deadline to make any type of significant impact on this team. But, you know, that hasn't been how the Bucks have operated. They've
right.
been busy at the deadline, but it's been more for role players in the past, and I think that's where you should level set your expectations.
Of course, of course. Again, talking here with Justin Garcia, Bucks studio analyst here on the Sports Q on WJJQ. Justin, let's talk about tomorrow night's matchup. The two teams in the Eastern Conference at the top go toe-to-toe in the Pfizer Forum as the Bucks take on the Celtics. What does Milwaukee need to do to pull off the victory tomorrow night?
Well, number one, number one with this matchup, I'm very curious, and, you know, we all knew they were playing the Celtics, but it didn't dawn on me until this morning of, oh, that's right, this is going to be Drew Holiday's return to Fiserv Forum. So
yes.
I'm going to be, first off, interested to see, I would hope and I assume, the reception that he gets is a standing ovation unanimously
yes.
from the fans inside of Fiserv Forum. But I'm going to be interested to see the emotion of Drew Holiday as well, as we know he was not very happy with that trade in the offseason and returning to a place that meant so much to he and his wife and his family. It's going to be interesting to see how he balances those emotions. But for the Celtics specifically, you know, they have clearly been the best team in the league.
Yes, they have.
So far this season. And they're the deepest team. I think they're the most talented team. And they're the best two-way team. So it means there is not a whole lot of margin for error. And some of the things that we talked about earlier, you have to be sound with your rebounding. We've talked about it a lot with inferior teams against the Bucks. That the number one way to keep those types of teams in a game where you're the more talented team is by turnovers and allowing them to get into transition and scoring on you in that sense, and offensive rebounds and second chance points. Don't give them extra cracks at that. It's especially imperative that that is not the case against the Boston Celtics. I mean, I don't think anybody is expecting the Bucks defense to come out and shut down the Celtics. But also, you have to be cognizant of where they are getting their shots from. That Boston loves to take a lot of three-point shots.
Yes, they do.
And I think if you're the Bucks, you almost want them to funnel the offense through Kristaps Porzingis to kind of solve that math equation and put it more into your favor.
Yes.
We talked about how the Celtics are going to slow down Giannis last time. We saw it with Drew Holiday that was getting him defensively. But if we go back to that last matchup, that was earlier in the season. The Bucks were playing better, especially defensively. But that offense hadn't really started to click yet at the time
right.
of that matchup. And they ended up losing by one possession. I think it was a three-point score difference.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't really that close. That was all Damian Lillard down the stretch. Where mm-hmm. the Bucks were down 10-plus in the fourth quarter. And before you knew it, Damian Lillard kind of took it upon himself to make that a one-possession game. And Damian Lillard, I know he'd been through his shooting slump of late. He is expected to play tomorrow, so that's good news for the Bucks.
Yes, he is.
But he's been much more consistent than he was in that first matchup with the Celtics. And he's going to be key, too, because it's those spacing issues, right? That, you know, Giannis, if you don't have consistent shooting from the outside, it allows the Celtics to throw a lot of bodies out there and clog up the paint. And that's where Damian Lillard and Malik Beasley are going to be key in that matchup.
It'll be a big matchup for Milwaukee tomorrow. Bucks take on Boston. Tip-off is at 6:30 at Pfizer Forum tomorrow night. Justin Garcia, Bucks studio analyst here on the Sports Q on WJJQ. Justin, thank you very much for joining me. I appreciate it.
Yeah, anytime.
So coming up on the flip side of CBS News, we're going to sit down with Hatchet boys swim coach Teresa L'Esperance. We will also have Bill Schmidt from 97.3 The Game on to talk Packers playoff chances, and I'll make my Super Wild Card predictions, all coming up on the other side of CBS News here on the Sports Q on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ Tomahawk.
Talking about the sports teams that you care about. Youth, high school, college, and pro. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by O'Reilly Auto Parts.
I'm Monica Ricks. Chris Christie has officially dropped his Republican bid for president.
I would rather lose by telling the truth than lie in order to win. And I feel no differently today, because this is a fight for the soul of our party and the soul of our country.
Just minutes before that town hall in New Hampshire, Christie got caught on a hot mic saying his opponent, Nikki Haley, would get smoked in the race. And Florida Governor Ron DeSantis called him petrified. Both are set to hit the debate stage tonight in Iowa. The search for missing skiers is over in Lake Tahoe, where an avalanche killed one person today and injured another. This woman says she was minutes away from getting buried, too.
I'm lucky that the bus was late because I would have been in that avalanche. So I saw it when I was going up the chair. And then as I came around, anybody that was off the chair, we just all got asked to help and start probing and start trying to just find people.
In the Northeast, high floodwaters are starting to recede, but the damage may be done. Frank Staffa says his store was soaked today in Lodi.
This is bad, but I've never seen it this high.
CBS's Dave Malkoff also checked out tornado damage in North Florida.
It ripped apart a marina that had a lot of fancy boats in there, the same marina that was destroyed 5 years ago by Hurricane Michael. And now here we are after they rebuilt and reopened, and we've got a tornado, and they're back to square one.
President Biden met with Paul Whelan's sister today at the White House, the meeting coming 5 years after the former U.S. Marine was detained in Russia on spying charges. She begged the president to do more to get him home. Meantime, a House committee hearing on whether to hold Hunter Biden in contempt of Congress turned ugly.
Hunter Biden, who unexpectedly showed up for the hearing, was chastised by Republican Nancy Mace.
You are the epitome of white privilege.
Democrat Jasmine Crockett took exception to that comment.
Let me tell you why nobody wants to talk to y'all behind closed doors, because y'all lie.
And as Republican Marjorie Taylor Greene began to speak, Hunter Biden unexpectedly walked out.
Hunter, apparently you're afraid of
Linda my Kenyon, word. CBS News, Washington.
After 17 seasons as head coach of the Crimson Tide, Nick Saban is retiring. ESPN reporting the 72-year-old built a college football empire, winning 7 national championships, including 6 at Alabama, and 12 conference titles. This is CBS News.
Think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get the parts and service you need fast from the professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Hi, this is Scott Trout of Cordell & Cordell. There are a lot of great dads out there. Sometimes those dads get divorced. For more than 30 years, we've represented men in divorce, confronting the pitfalls that could devastate your finances or harm your family relationships. While every situation is different, our goal is to get the best outcome for you and your kids. Visit CordellCordell.com to take the first step.
Schedule an appointment with one of Cordell & Cordell's Madison area attorneys. 1110 Fourier Drive, Suite 120, Madison, Wisconsin, 53717.
Jackson Hewitt has a plan to get your tax refund fast. With a buck, buck here, buck, buck there. Here, buck, there, buck, everywhere, buck, buck.
You don't have to wait weeks for your tax refund. Get money sooner with a no-fee refund advance loan at Jackson Hewitt.
On this loan, there's a money today guarantee. E-I-E-I-D-O.
Don't settle for chicken feed. Get fast bucks at Jackson Hewitt today. No-fee refund advance loans by Republic Bank offered to eligible clients. Money today guarantee if approved for a loan on a prepaid card. Details at JacksonHewitt.com.
25 years ago today, an iconic series premiered on HBO.
The Sopranos was a water cooler hit.
How are you feeling now?
Fine. Back at work.
Tony, the New Jersey mobster, and his therapist.
What line of work are you in?
Waste management consultant.
His struggles with his family and a business that could be violent.
You all right?
My leg is broken. The bone's coming through.
In its first season, the New York Times called it perhaps the greatest work of American popular culture of the last quarter century, launching an era of what became known as prestige TV.
What are you doing here?
Hey, Gabriel, let's be down here for the gabagool.
With colorful characters and a cut-to-black ending that's still debated. Steve Kathan, CBS News.
If you've never watched it or want to rewatch snippets of your favorite episodes, HBO started a TikTok account with clips of all 86 episodes, or grab a little gabagool today to celebrate. Monica Ricks, CBS News.
WJJQ Radio Sports Time, 6:05 p.m. and a good Wednesday evening. I'm Alex Cook. We got some snow falling here in the North Woods on this Wednesday evening, 26 degrees under mostly cloudy skies. We'll have our interview with boys swim coach Teresa L'Esperance after this from Tony.
The forecast for northern Wisconsin for tonight, a 70% chance of scattered light snow, a dusting to an inch possible, low 21 degrees. Tomorrow, lots of cloud cover, some patchy light snow or flurries early in the morning, high near 27. The wind staying light. A chance of light snow developing very late Thursday night, low 16. Friday, breezy with some snow likely, a couple inches at least through late Friday night, potentially more, high in the mid-20s. Saturday, windy and colder, chance of light snow in the morning, then some occasional flurries, high 14. Bundle up Sunday and Monday with highs around 1 degree. Wind chills could be near 20 below zero. I'm meteorologist Tony Schumacher from the WJJQ Weather Center.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Good to have you along here on this Wednesday evening. It is now time for our Hatchet interview of the day. And back in the studio with me is Hatchet Boy Swim Coach Teresa L'Esperance. Teresa, welcome back and thank you for joining me.
Good evening, Alex.
Let's go ahead and get right into it. We talked, obviously, in mid-December about the beginning of the season. You've now had a couple more meets under your belt. Why don't you take me through how the last month has been like for you so far?
Well, we had a really big meet last week against Ashwaubenon, one of the largest meets in the state, a lot of D1 schools. And as previously, I know that meet is scheduled right in the middle of the season, so we did a slight little mini taper to see what we could do. And the boys swam 18 personals out of 22, which was crazy. 80%, that is really crazy. They're really working hard. I've never seen, well, I haven't coached boys that long, but compared to last year, they are a different team. They are very focused on what they want to do.
That is wonderful to hear. Let's focus in a little bit more on your invite at Ashwaubenon. You did finish towards bottom. You finished third among Division II teams. You competed against some really, really big schools, as you previously mentioned. Talk a little bit more about the performance. What impressed you the most?
I think that their ability to step up to the plate. I mean, they knew they were not in the fastest heat of any event, but they still, you know, performed at their best. In the medley relay, three of my swimmers swam personal bests. And then, and to top that off, as we got on the bus, Zach Germano was sick. And I said, "You are not coming." So we had to completely change, move kids around. So that mentality. And then realizing, oh my gosh, we don't have Zach. What are we going to do? They just stepped up and swam great through the whole day, all the way to the last event. We had the 400 free relay, and we were in the second to fastest heat in the outside lane, not looking good. And I ran up to Trey as he's about to jump in as the third leg. I said, "You better get moving." He said after, "Oh man, you." I thought I better get going. I said, "Yeah, you do." and those boys swam 57s. Some of those boys have never broken a minute. So it just is really, really exciting. It was a very exciting meet. And the other schools notice us. They know how small. We are the smallest school in the state to host swimming. They noticed who we were. And that says a lot.
It definitely does. Again, talking here with Hatchet Boys Swim Coach Teresa L'Esperance here on the Sports Q on WJJQ. Teresa, you resumed conference play yesterday with a double duel with Antigo and Medford. I know that you had a lot of positives to take away yesterday. Why don't you go ahead and reiterate some of those?
Well, I woke up in the morning at 7 o'clock with a note from a parent saying that Dane was not swimming. We are spreading the illness, and so I told them to start hugging each other and get rid of it. Get everybody sick before the end of the season. So as we got to Medford again, I had to change the lineup, and I was very worried about Trey. He was with the choir concert and the storms they were having, so I kind of pulled him out of all the relays and just threw him in some distance events in case he didn't make it. Well, he made it, so we were to pull our relays together. And I looked at Antigo, and I know those Antigo boys. I know who they are. I know them by name. And I said, "Where did you get your extra swimmers?" "Well, we, you know, moseying around." So they had nine guys. So before the meet, on paper, like at the Olympics in the 2012 Olympics, France led the United States on paper. So I said, "Okay, on paper, we're going to lose by 20-some points. And I have to think, how am I going to get these guys psyched up?" I told them, I said, "On paper, it doesn't look good. But we can still go out and win every event and have some pride." We only lost by 3 points. So, you know, just fantastic. They support each other. Toby Scott took a second place in his backstroke, and the fans were going crazy because that, you know, was the difference. Everybody stepped up and did what they needed to do. It was, yes, it was a little disappointing to lose to Anago, but we're going to swim him in 2 weeks, and we're going to beat him.
Wow, love the confidence. What about your performance against Medford yesterday?
Well, Medford is getting better, and, you know, they're young. They're very, very young, no seniors. Their form, the boys sometimes kind of like giggle at like, oh man, they don't know how to swim. I said, just don't discount them because there are a few and they're working hard. They're nice boys. We welcomed them to our meet next week because we were swimming against Rhinelander, and I'm like, we don't want to swim Rhinelander alone. Medford, come on over. So they're coming over and they're very excited to do that. So Medford will be good in a couple of years, but not right now.
Again, talking here with Teresa L'Esperance, Hadja Boys swim coach on the Sports Q on WJJQ. Teresa, you and I talked, obviously, last month about focusing on the little things the most. You said that that was the only thing that you need to improve on. Where do you stand now as we start to head into the home stretch of the season?
Well, when we went to Ashwaubenon, you know, I always have little focus goals. And I told the boys, it's not about times. It's about what we're working on. And so I told them to really focus on our turns, which we have been working on a lot. And they did. They really did. I think it was Bruce Peets was trying to shoot for a good time. I said, all you have to do is clean up your turns. Just every turn. Don't think about the race. Do every turn. And he broke 6 minutes, and he took 10 seconds off his time. So that's where we are right now. We're still a little bit of focus, but at this point, we need to start building some yardage. And we start double practices next week, and we'll be adding yardage to get that I don't know what we even call it, that anaerobic effect, and then the anaerobic once we start tapering.
So let's go ahead and focus in on your next meet. Obviously, you mentioned it's now a double duel. Medford's coming to your pool along with Rhinelander. You talked a little bit about Medford. Why don't you go ahead and analyze a little bit more on them and on Rhinelander as you get ready for next Thursday?
Well, it is going to be, we only had two home meets, which is really sad, but it's just the way the cookie bounces, you know. So the boys, our senior captain, Trey, he will get to choose first, and I let them pick their events. I have always been a coach who believes that students or athletes who are invested in their events will focus on them. So we'll let them pick their events, and we'll have a great time. We're not going to worry about Medford. We're going to just see what we can do against Rhinelander. And we have great respect for Rhinelander. In fact, the boys, the Rhinelander boys are very, very close with our boys and talk with us a lot, and they're watching us, which is always nice to see.
That is wonderful to hear. Teresa, do you have any final thoughts before we wrap up here?
Well, we're getting to that almost end of season. I'm regretting that it's almost over. It goes too quick. Winter season goes much faster than the girls' season. but just really happy, and hope some people can come out and watch us on Thursday night and see the boys and just support us through the end of the season.
That's absolutely true. Again, Tomahawks boys swimming Great Northern Conference double duel next Thursday is at the Hatch Pool. Events begin at 5:30 next Thursday. Teresa L'Esperance, thank you very much for joining me once again.
Thanks, Alex.
All right, we're going to go ahead and take a break. When we come back, we'll sit down with 97.3 The Game host Bill Schmidt to talk about the Packers playoff chances in Dallas coming up on Sunday. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Where Northern Wisconsin comes for in-depth Wisconsin sports talk. From youth sports to the pros, you are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
You don't want to be stuck watching everyone head out when trails open. Make sure your sled, UTV, or ATV are ready to hit the trails. Hobbs Service Center, with over 30 years of experience, is ready to make sure your recreational vehicle is in tip-top shape for the season. Whether it's basic maintenance, motor and clutch work, or tires, Hobbs Service Center is your premier service center on all makes and models. Hit the trails with confidence. Call Hobbs Service Center to keep your machine in tip-top shape. Hobbs Service Center, 360-5086, located on County Road L, north of Tomahawk.
Robin Muir Electrical Contracting is a factory-authorized Generac dealer with over 40 years of experience. So call to get a quote and schedule your Generac generator install or service upgrade now, as well as other electrical needs. Our schedule is filling up. Both Robin and his son Nicholas are state-licensed certified master electricians with no restrictions. Robin Muir Electrical Contracting, your local Tomahawk electrician. Call today at 715-966-4397.
hopefully the weather will be cooperating soon, making some safe ice for fishing. Well, when the ice is ready, you'll be ready after a stop at Vigod Stewart Express of Tomahawk. Select from the popular brand of ice augers. Check out the selection of fish locators. Keep warm with Eskimo ice fishing jackets and bibs with a size for men and women, plus lacrosse boots and ice armor gloves and mittens. Vigod Stewart Express also offers live bait and a nice selection of tip-ups. Vigod Stewart Express, North 4th Street, Tomahawk, your ice fishing headquarters.
Porcelain tile, ceramic tile, glass tile, pebbles, not here. Custom tile work, now that's more like it. Stain-proof, spill-proof, waterproof.
Dreaming of your dream shower? Let Carpet City Flooring Center help you with your custom shower bath installs. Still think you're dreaming? Really? A flooring store that does showers and baths? Yes, the experts at Carpet City know tile and will help you make your dreams come true. Carpet City, Eagle River, Minocqua, and Rhinelander.
Carpet City.
And welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook. Great to have you along here on this Wednesday evening. Currently joining me back with me, 97.3 The Game and Packers OT co-host, Mr. Bill Schmidt. Bill, welcome back and thank you for joining me again.
Always appreciate it, man. Good to be talking playoff football again.
Absolutely. Well, again, hard to believe it, but the Packers are back in the postseason after defeating the Bears on Sunday 17-9. I'm sure that we were both there at that particular game. We do want to get to the postseason, but first let's focus on Sunday. What was the biggest reason you think Green Bay won that game?
I think the biggest reason, once again, was the consistent play of Jordan Love. And to be able to complement the run game for the last 3 weeks, which has just been fantastic coming back from that MCL injury for Aaron Jones, to be able to put together three consecutive 100-yard games, almost three consecutive 120-yard games, something that hadn't ever been done in Packers history before. But make no mistake about it, the biggest plays of the game were still generally through the air because of what Jordan Love has been able to do as of late with his elite playmaking right now outside of the pocket. I think that's the one part that has also kind of been passed over the last couple of weeks, and going back and watching more and more of it, Alex, that it's not just within the structure of the offense now that Jordan is making the big splash plays. Think about the last couple of weeks, the one a couple of games ago that we all watched and remembered mostly because of how disappointing the defense was against Tampa Bay. But there's a throw in there outside of the pocket to Jaden Reed into the end zone,
yes,
which is pretty spectacular. You saw a couple of them this week. And even the last one to Tucker Kraft, which picks up a first down. That's a play that I don't believe Jordan was maybe not confident in making earlier in the year, but wasn't necessarily trying to, because you're just trying to make sure that you do everything right. At some point, you got to be able to be an instinctual football player, do things that, you know, maybe are a little bit out of the flow of the offense. I think Jordan has become really, really comfortable and confident in doing that the last couple of weeks.
Let's go ahead and focus in more on Jordan Love here, Bill. He completed his first full season as a starter. 64% completion percentage, 4,159 passing yards, 36 total touchdowns, 11 picks. Why don't you give me your overall evaluation of Jordan Love in his first year as a starter?
It's been pretty spectacular when you think about everything that's gone into it, right, from the personal side of things and the on-the-field side of things. That there hasn't really been any missteps that at least I can think of that have been pointed out to me in this transition. And that's a pretty mature thing to be able to do for a young guy that, let's be honest, has been craving this opportunity for the last couple of years while being, Alex, extremely patient and grateful,
yes,
for the opportunity to learn behind Aaron Rodgers and understand what that did and can do for his career moving forward. But to be able to confidently know that your play on the field is going to be enough, and through the turbulent periods of 2-5 and 3-6 when playoff football wasn't even close to the conversation,
right,
and people are already thinking about pivoting off and wondering how much time is ultimately going to be necessary for an evaluation, to now get an 18th game here in 2023 is pretty spectacular for Jordan. And the numbers are what they are. He's finally getting some recognition, I think, nationally more over the last couple of weeks for what he's done. But he's put in the work, and he's paid his dues. Now you hope that you're able to really splash onto the scene in a game that will, make no mistake about it, numbers get you recognized. But once you, and what you do into January and February will ultimately be what gets you publicized through the rest of your career. That's what Jordan Love's trying to hear prove on Sunday.
Again, talking here with Bill Schmidt from 97.3 The Game and also Packers OT co-host with John Kuhn. Bill, obviously this team, I think that most of the Packers fans knew that this was probably going to be a rebuilding year because didn't make the playoffs the previous year and Aaron Rodgers last season as a quarterback, and we all know how that ended. You have a brand new roster, the youngest team, not just in the NFL, but one of the youngest in NFL history. And this team is back in the playoffs. How do you think they were able to put it together?
Well, they were able to do it with some pretty spectacular drafting over the last two seasons, right? You think about the guys who are key contributors, especially on the offensive side for the Packers. Most of them have been selected over these last couple of years. They really improved up front, which has allowed them to be more explosive and allow them to push the ball down the field and get the ball to, you know, splash guys like Bo Melton and Jaden Reed and company in replace for Christian Watson. But make no mistake about it, one of the biggest reasons why they've been able to do this is they've played some pretty complimentary football in this run of winning. I believe it's now 6 of 8 to get here with those two L's in the middle between the Giants and Buccaneers. For the most part, the Packers have taken advantage when their defense, hasn't been a ton, has taken the ball away, and they have not turned the ball over. They've not put their defense in bad spots by giving the ball away. If you look at that 42-day run in the middle of the first 2 months of the season, when the Packers didn't win a game, they were giving it away far too often, whether they were putting it on the ground or some costly interceptions, those 11 of Jordan's season, 10 of which came in the first 10 games. So for them to not turn the ball over and put their defense in adverse situations has been one of the biggest reasons why they've been able to take advantage of these games and win some close games. And hopefully they're in a close one where the turnover margin is pretty impactful on Sunday.
Yeah, again, Bill, let's go ahead and focus in a little bit more on this defense. Obviously, especially in the last few games of the season, there were a lot of questions about Joe Barry and his future as a team. But so far, the Packers' defense has stepped up in the last couple of games with a very good performance in Minnesota and probably their best defense performance of the season against the Bears when they needed it the most. What have you thought of the defensive performance from this team over the last couple of weeks?
It's been very timely, right? You think about when exactly they needed it, they brought it at the right time. And earlier in the year, it does get forgotten about because we were still talking mostly about the offensive struggles instead of the defense keeping them in a vast majority of those games. Think about the Denver game, and Las Vegas is also there.
Yeah.
Take out a couple of outlier games there in the beginning of December. They're a top 10 scoring defense. So, and there's stats that you can also point to, though, and say that they're a bottom 7 defense, right? Statistics don't necessarily lie, but they allow you to, and they influence certain narratives and certain beliefs and different ways that you want to discuss the team, right? Their defense has and will have to be strong coming up on Sunday, and they get probably their toughest challenge of the season going up against one of the most explosive offenses that Dallas provides, and especially at home. Dallas's offense is even more of a dominating force. But for the Packers, the pressure is one of the biggest keys. You think about those upset wins over Kansas City and Detroit, and they end up getting, I believe it's 8 or 9 sacks combined between those two games. And a huge reason why they were able to keep Chicago out of the end zone this past weekend was some timely times that they were able to get to Justin Fields and ultimately get him on the ground. So getting some pressure will be huge this weekend against a front that is extremely good. I mean, they have two guys that were today voted all pros from the Players Association, the players only all pros, and Tyron Smith wasn't one of them. So they're a very good unit up front. But the Packers, especially in the last couple of weeks, have been able to get some pressure. We'll see if that's a factor coming up on Sunday.
Yeah, and talking here with Bill Schmidt from 97.3 The Game and Packers OT co-host. Bill, let's go ahead and expand more on this matchup with Dallas coming up on Sunday. Now, here's some numbers for you. Aaron Jones, in three games against the Cowboys, has had at least 100 yards from scrimmage and a touchdown. The Packers as a team, since AT&T Stadium has been built, is 5-0. They've won four straight road games against the Cowboys. The other one was when they won the Super Bowl back in 2010. The Packers have had a lot of big games in Dallas over the last few years. What do they need to do to pull off the upset on Sunday?
Well, they're going to have to ultimately be able to score with Dallas, right? Now, obviously, those are all pretty different teams that you referenced there, Alex. But think about all of those games that I think are scored into the 30s, at least into the wins. Maybe there's a 29-26 comeback win in there that featured Matt Flynn in a big comeback win against Dallas in the 2010s. But it's a stadium that is going to be very, very loud. Listen, Dallas is not planning or care. They did not talk all year about getting to the wild card round, right? They've been talking about getting to the NFC title game. So this is step number one for Dallas. So we know what it's like as Packers fans to be the team that is expecting to get at very worst,
yes,
at least past the game that they're looking at here in the first round. So it is going to be a pretty difficult game. There's a reason why they're 7-plus point underdogs wherever you end up looking at it. But the biggest recipe is, and I've said this a couple of times so far this week on 9 to noon, they're going to have to watch at some point Jordan Love be the best player on the field, I believe, for them to win that game.
Okay.
You reference Aaron Jones. They'll be able to run the ball, no doubt about it. Dallas is a team that allows you to, and Aaron Jones also has a 4-touchdown performance down there in Dallas as a Texas native. He told us that on Tuesday, and that stadium is pretty important to him. Playing against his childhood team is pretty important to him. But ultimately, if the Packers are going to win, I think it's going to be on the strength of their offense. And right now, in the back half of 2023, that's been the engine that's been run by Jordan Love.
Again, Packers take on the Cowboys Sunday evening at AT&T Stadium. We will have the broadcast of the game for you here on WJJQ at 3:30 on Sunday. Bill Schmidt, 97.3 The Game and Packers OT co-host. Bill, thank you very much for joining me. Looking forward to the game this Sunday.
Alex, looking forward to it and looking forward to talking to many people listening right now on Sunday after the game. Hopefully we're talking about a win on Packers OT. Thanks for having me on, man.
Yep, absolutely. Bill Schmidt from 97.3 The Game. Coming up after the break, I'm going to make my super wild card NFL predictions. This is the Sports Q on WJJQ.
Talking Packers, Badgers, Brewers, Bucs, and local sports. You are listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ.
John J. Schuette Construction is a family-owned company serving the area with trucking, excavating, and Wausau Homes. Their Wausau Homes design studio is at 1708 North 4th Street in Tomahawk, and they're ready to help make every home buyer's experience an enjoyable one from start to finish. Call 453-2015 for excavating, trucking, and Wausau Homes from John J. Schuette Construction of Tomahawk.
Hi, it's Jessica from Crossbridge Community Bank. There's no better time than now to consider new ways to increase your earnings on your money. We have new and competitive CD and money market rates that will help assure your deposits do more. Visit our website at crossbridge.bank for current rates. Whether you have $1,000 or $1 million, are a current customer or new to Crossbridge, we can find the account and product that's right for you. We welcome you to create a purposeful partnership with the only community bank in Lincoln County. Choose a bank that treats you like family, is rooted in the community, and always puts purpose first. Visit us at crossbridge.bank or stop in today.
Here's a look at your Northwoods 92.5 forecast. Cloudy tonight with a chance of snow. Lows around 21. Winds out of the east around 5 miles per hour. About an inch of snow tonight with another 2 to 4 inches tomorrow night through Friday night. I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki, and that's your forecast on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Currently, it's 25 degrees.
Don't be caught by Old Man Winter once he arrives with a furnace that can't handle the job anymore. Instead, call Premier Heating and Cooling at 453-4700. Premier offers the Dave Lennox signature collection of furnaces designed from the inside out to look good and work better than ever. Call Premier Heating and Cooling at 453-4700 for a free estimate for your Lennox heating needs and a great service after the sale with special protection plan memberships available. Lennox, innovation never felt so good. Premier Heating and Cooling, serving customers from Weston to Woodruff and locations in between. Call 453-4700, online at premierheatingcooling.com, or their showroom at the intersection of Muskellunge Lake Road and County Road A, Tomahawk.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. Alex Cook here with you on this Wednesday evening. Before we get into our wild card predictions, let's go ahead and jump in to our Week 18 recap here. Again, Pittsburgh knocking off Baltimore 17-10. Houston over Indianapolis 23-19. Cincinnati over Cleveland 31-14. Detroit over Minnesota 30-20. Tennessee over Jacksonville 28-20. New Orleans 48, Atlanta 17, Tampa Bay over Carolina 9-0, Jets over the Patriots 17-3, Rams over the Niners 21-20, Vegas over Denver 27-14, Packers over the Bears 17-9, Chiefs over the Chargers 13-12, Dallas over Washington 38-10, Giants over Philadelphia 27-10, Seattle over Arizona 21-20, and Buffalo over Miami 21-14. 11-5 I went in my predictions, and I have an overall regular season record, regular season only, of 174-98. That's 64%. Yes, I'm going to give myself a pat on the back for that and a round of applause for that. Now, without further ado, let's go ahead and dive in to our NFL Super Wild Card predictions. Here we go. All right, we're going to have three broadcasts for you here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. We'll get to those broadcasts once we get to the matchups. Let's go ahead and begin with Saturday. We have the number 5 seed Cleveland Browns taking on the number 4 seed Houston Texans. The Browns have the best defense in the NFL in terms of yards per game. They also force a lot of turnovers. Joe Flacco has had an absolute renaissance of a year, coming back, filling in for Deshaun Watson, and then after that, Dorian Thompson Robinson and P.J. Walker. The Browns started 5 quarterbacks this year, including Jeff Driscoll in the finale, and somehow they're in the postseason without Deshaun Watson and without Nick Chubb. The Houston Texans were a team that won just 4 games last season, got the number 2 overall pick, ended up selecting C.J. Stroud instead of Bryce Young, and it has worked wonders for them. Him and Nico Collins are a very effective combination. D'Amico Ryans is doing a phenomenal job in Houston. Even though Houston is at home, I'm going to take the Browns to win this game. I think their defense will show up and perform well. I got Cleveland winning 24-17. This game is going to be broadcast only on Peacock Saturday night. It's the Kansas City Chiefs, the defending Super Bowl champions, the number 3 seed, taking on the number 6 seed, Miami Dolphins. Miami is a team that is very, very deceiving when it comes to their record. They have won a lot of games against lesser competition, teams like the Giants, teams like the Commanders. You know, teams that they should beat. They are taking on a Kansas City Chiefs team that is the defending Super Bowl champions. Even though the receivers have been struggling mightily, they do still have Patrick Mahomes in a quarterback. They've got the number 2 defense in the NFL, which is very impressive in my opinion. And it is going to be cold. 0 degrees is the kickoff temperature. I'm going to take the Chiefs to win 27-21. Now we go to the Sunday games. We've got Buffalo taking on Pittsburgh. The Pittsburgh Steelers backing themselves into the playoffs, taking on the number 2 seed, the Buffalo Bills. The Bills were 6-6 before the bye. After the bye, they won 5 straight, including knocking off the Dolphins to win the AFC East, and now they are back. The big thing is going to be how well can Josh Allen hang on to the football, and I think that he will do that against Pittsburgh. The Steelers, they have had an up-and-down roller coaster year. They had a really funky year. Mike Tomlin is still coaching this team at a very high level. But I'm going to take the Bills to win this game, and I think it'll be by double digits. I got them winning 28-17. Now, all the NFC games that we have for you will be broadcast on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ, just so you know. So all three NFC wildcard games will be broadcast on WJJQ. Let's go to the first one we have. We've got the 7th-seeded Green Bay Packers. Who'd have thunk it? Taking on the number 2-seed Dallas Cowboys. This sounds familiar, doesn't it?
Are you crazy? Are you out of your mind?
No, I am not. Now, the Dallas Cowboys, they are a team that is predicated on offense and great play at home. Dak Prescott is having the best year of his career. Him and CeeDee Lamb have established a really good connection, and that Dallas defense is still really good at getting after the quarterback, and they have a very good secondary as well. They're aggressive, and they can get burned sometimes, but they still have a very good secondary. The Packers, meanwhile, 2-5, obviously, to begin the season, as we talked about. They are backing themselves in at 9-8. This is going to be my upset of the week.
It's a bold strategy, Cotton. Let's see if it pays off for them.
I'm going to take the Packers to win by one. I think it comes down to a game-winning drive by Jordan Love. Green Bay 21, Dallas 20. Get at me. Then the Sunday night game we have, and this is another fun matchup. We have a lot of them this week. Number 3-seed Detroit winning the NFC North for the first time since 1993. First home playoff game since 1993. They're taking on the LA Rams. Now, the Lions have performed incredibly well so far this season with Jared Goff at quarterback, with their ability to run the football. Dan Campbell is doing a great job. They're taking on the Rams, who, by the way, this is the matchup of quarterbacks that have been flipped. Jared Goff for the Lions, Matt Stafford for the Rams. This is going to be a fun matchup. I cannot wait to see. The Rams have played incredibly well. They've won 6 of their last 7 games, with their lone loss coming in overtime to Baltimore. I'm going to take the Lions to win this game, though. I think it'll come down to which quarterback has the ball last, and I think it'll be Jared Goff. Lions win 31-28. And our final game to predict is going to be number 4-seed Tampa Bay against number 5-seed Philadelphia. The Eagles started out 10-1. They've lost 5 of their last 6 games. Completely foreign. I don't know what this team is. And they take on a Tampa team that has been a proverbial underdog throughout the course of the season, led by the proverbial underdog quarterback himself, Baker Mayfield. And I think that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers will send the Philadelphia Eagles off into the sunset unceremoniously. I've got Tampa Bay winning this game. I think it'll come down to a last-second field goal, but I got the Buccaneers knocking off the Eagles 24-21. We'll also have that game broadcast for you on WJJQ. Those are my NFL Super Wild Card predictions here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'll be back to wrap things up after this.
Covering sports from Madison, Milwaukee, Green Bay, and the Northwoods, you're listening to the Sports Cube with Alex Cook on WJJQ.
Is your furniture still too nice to throw out, but you need something different? No worries. We take trade-ins and offer great deals every day at Tomahawk Furniture and Gun. Stop in at 109 West Wisconsin Avenue to see our latest lineup and all your hunting needs, too. Did you hear? We opened a second location as well. Our new and used furniture and mattress outlet is located at 730 East 2nd Street in downtown Merrill. That's right, 2 great locations for all your wants and needs. It's Tomahawk Furniture and Gun, downtown Tomahawk, right next to the Pine Tree Supper Club, and our Merrill Furniture and Mattress Outlet on East 2nd Street. Prices so low, you've got to bend over to see them.
Come on!
This is Stephanie Ahrens, Doctor of Physical Therapy at Health and Motion in Tomahawk. Health and Motion is a therapist-owned outpatient clinic with 8 locations in northern Wisconsin. Our skilled providers treat a wide variety of musculoskeletal conditions, post-surgical cases, vertigo, jaw pain, and many more. Here at Health and Motion, we value our one-on-one time with patients using treatments backed by research and cutting-edge technology to get our patients better faster and with greater satisfaction. Give us a call to schedule an evaluation or a complimentary 15-minute screen with one of our therapists. Majority of the time, we can get you scheduled within 48 hours. Simply call 453-6650 or look at our website, himwi.com.
So come on!
For you. Heading into 2024, Gary will begin his 39th year in business, offering service to our Northwoods communities and making him the longest operating auto dealer in the area. If you're looking for a new-to-you vehicle in this new year, well, then make sure you check out their inventory with the best selection of vehicles in the area. There's cars, trucks, SUVs, over 40 units to choose from. And if you can't find exactly what you're looking for on the lot, Gary can help you find your next vehicle. The Auto House has a selection of rental vehicles if you need one, and that's what you call doing business the right way for nearly 40 years. At the Auto House on North 4th in Tomahawk, they're online at autohousecars.net. That's AUTOHAUS cars.net.
Do you have uncoated concrete? When concrete is left unprotected, moisture can combine with organic particles in the concrete's pores, which can lead to the growth of mold, mildew, and bacteria, which also can lead to negative health outcomes. Wisconsin Coating Specialist offers coatings that seal off pores and prevents moisture from penetrating the surface to provide you with a durable, clean, and beautiful surface for the whole family to enjoy. Call Wisconsin Coating Specialist for your free estimate, 715-298-9533. Wisconsin Coating Specialist, tough and beautiful.
Welcome back to the Sports Q here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ. I'm Alex Cook here as we hit our final countdown here on the Sports Q. And for our final countdown, we're going to take a look at Hatchet events coming up over the next week. First off, coming up tomorrow, Hatchet Wrestling with home matches with Antigo and Lakeland. Fairman Orthodontics Radio pregame show will begin at 6:05. Matches will begin at 6:30. Tony Derleth is going to join me in the broadcast booth from the Hatchet House tomorrow night. Also tomorrow night, Hatchet Hockey will be back in action. They're going for a 5-0 Great Northern Conference record as they take on Antigo. Puck drops at 7 o'clock. Coming up on Friday, Hatchet Boys Wrestling will be back on the road as they have an invitational over in St. Croix Central. That will get underway at 5 o'clock Friday night. Hatchet Boys and Girls Basketball will be back in action. They'll be taking on Antigo. The girls will be at home. Boys will be on the road. Terry, Tim, and I will have the broadcast of the girls' game with the Fairman Orthodontics Radio pregame show at 6:50. Tip-off at 7:15. Coming up Saturday, Tomahawk Girls Wrestling with their next invite at Ashland. Matches will begin at 10 o'clock that morning. Coming up on Monday, Tomahawk Boys Basketball will take on Great Northern Conference rival Northland Pines. Tip-off at 7:15. And on Tuesday, Tomahawk Hockey Great Northern Conference battle with Northland Pines as well. Zach Garner will join me in the broadcast booth with the Fairman Orthodontics Radio pregame show beginning at 6:35, opening face-off at 7 o'clock from Sarah Park. And our final event for the week, Tomahawk Boys Basketball will be at home against Tigerton. Tip-off at 7:15. That's going to wrap up the Sports Cube. We'll go ahead and close things out with a highlight package for you. This will be from Tomahawk Hockey this past Thursday when they knocked off Lakeland 4-3. It was a phenomenal game. This gave Tomahawk a tie for Wapaka for first place in the Great Northern Conference. Thank you very much to Teresa Lesperance, Justin Garcia, and Bill Schmidt for joining me on tonight's program. And thank you for tuning in. That's going to wrap up the Sports Cube. Have a sportacular week, everyone. I'm Alex Cook, and I'll see you next week. Hey! School hockey is live and on the air. A very good Thursday evening, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Alex Cook. Great to have you with us here. We're coming to you from the Hawks Ice Arena here in Minocqua, where tonight we got a Great Northern Conference heavyweight showdown for you as the Tomahawk Hatchets take on the Lakeland T-Birds. Joining me back in the booth once again, Zach Garner. Zach, welcome back.
Well, great to be here, Alex. You got a rivalry game. Probably for the conference title here, and two teams that don't really get along, and a lot of excitement here.
Instead, 20 seconds left on the power play. Tomahawk with a chance here to try and get a goal, and instead it is out now of the Lakeland zone. Tomahawk's going to have to try and go in a move, and now here comes Jonah back the other way. Jonah looking up to Logan Seymour. Shot, he's gone! Logan Seymour puts it in. Beautiful pass from Jonah to Logan, and with 10 seconds left on the power play, the Hatchets get their first goal of the night. It's 1-1.
Yeah, it was a beautiful goal, just following up. You know, there wasn't necessarily a lot of power play action on that goal. It was a lot of Jonah Dickens doing some stick handling. Puck kind of slides over to Logan Seymour, and he was able to beat Molson there and tie up this game.
And the one thing you want, if you get a goal against Andrew Molson, you take that puck and you stick it back in your pocket. That was a beautiful setup by Jonah Dickens to Logan Seymour for Tomahawk's first goal of the night and the first power play goal of the night. We got 17.8 seconds to go here in this first period. We are tied at 1. Tomahawk and Lakeland each with a goal so far in the first nearly 17 minutes. Faceoff won by Tomahawk. Jonah tries to gain possession.
Tomahawk able to
keep it in with Austin Lehmer. We're going to have a delayed penalty coming up. Lehmer shoots. He scores! Austin Lehmer from the blue line! Hatchett lead with 10 seconds to go in the first period. You talked about the last minute of the first period. Wow, what a way to end it.
Yeah, you know, those are daggers. It should almost count for a little more than a goal because you get all that momentum as you're heading into the locker room. Lakeland probably would have been thrilled at the 1-1 tie, and now they head in down 2-1 instead, and the Hatchets are going to have a wave here heading into the locker room as well.
And now Tomahawk will go ahead and go through a few substitutions. Here's Landon Seymour fighting in the boards with Brent Olson. Olson looking. Logan back in front. Jonah with the one-timer. He scores! Jonah Dickens gets the goal. It's 3-1 Tomahawk. 14:38 to go. And they hit the silly button right here on the near side.
You know, we talked in the first goal about how Jonah did a lot of the heavy lifting and Logan was the beneficiary. That was a beautiful pass by Logan Seymour. And all Jonah had to do was fire that one-timer into the net. But Logan really made that with a beautiful pass behind the goal line out to Jonah in the slot.
We go from Jonah to Logan in the first period. Now Logan to Jonah in the second period. Now fighting for it on the near side here with Bray Wagner. Now scooped up by, looks like Bo Stromberg. Stromberg looking, try center and Lamer hits. Shot and goal, score! Brayden Lamer! Silly button hit once again. Brayden Lamer makes it 4-2. Tomahawk with 11:59 to go.
Yeah, it was a great shot. He kind of, it wasn't the best of angles. He was just inside the face-off circle here on the right side in front of us and just fired a hard shot about a foot off the ice and was able to find the back of the net again.
Keeping it in play, Wagner. Helniak looking. That one's going to be sent right back out in the neutral ice. 12 seconds left. Clock is winding down. Kaden Reichel tries to gain possession of the puck. Knocked away at the last second. Lakeland has got to go quick here. 6 seconds left. Here they come back the other way. Mayer knocked away. Caleb Dickens. That's going to do it. Wins it. Tomahawk has knocked off Lakeland 4-3 here in Minocqua tonight. For a game that was tagged as the state game of the week, has certainly lived up to the billing, and the Hatchets are back in the win column. A 4-3 win over the Lakeland T-Birds, and the Hatchets have now gained control of at least a tie with Waupaca for first place in the Great Northern Conference, and a very similar setup to what happened last year, Zach. What a game.
You've been listening to the Sports Q on WJJQ. Be sure to join again next Wednesday at 5:30 p.m. for the latest sports news around the state and in our Northwoods community, right here on Northwoods 92.5 WJJQ.